السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، سسٹرز لسننگ ایٹ دا مدرسہ اینڈ اوور ریسیورز، ان این انفارمل مجلس آن سیٹرڈے نائٹ ود اے فیو برادرز، آئی ڈسکسڈ ون مضمون، ون ٹاپک ویچ آئی ہیو بین ڈسکسنگ مینی مینی ٹائمز ان دا ڈفرنٹ مجالس. And that is the topic of making tafweez, or resigning our will to the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Due to the calamities, the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, the suffering, the problems, the recession, the depression, and all kinds of things that people are facing, people seem to be losing hope and faith and trust in Allah ta'ala. And this is becoming more and more common, more and more in vogue. More and more people are making statements which clearly indicate that they consider Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, to be unjust, unfair, or having no compassion and no mercy, putting a person through some difficulties and hardships and suffering. So therefore, I was discussing Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's one poetry, which very beautifully covers this aspect. Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, we have been reading his Ash'ar of Zikr and other Ash'ar in the different majalis. I mentioned on Saturday night that if he had been a Maulana Sahib, a Mufti Sahib, an Allama Sahib, some great Qari Sahib, then we would have said, well, he grew up in that environment, and therefore his ashar and his poetry has got some kind of effect on the hearts of the people. But he did not grow up in that kind of environment. In the time of the British government, he was a deputy collector, which was a very high position. People used to aspire for that position. You had to lick the boots of the British to gain that position. But he, with his merit, he was able to achieve that position. But realizing that in that position, he will not be able to maintain his dini commitment, after he established his contact with Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Mujaddidi Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi, when a total reformation came in his life, so then he gave up that position, he gave up that highly paid job, and he became an inspector of schools. A total reformation. If people saw him after that, they would have thought some great Maulana Sahib or Mufti Sahib is coming. There was no sign of all that Western education in his life anymore. So there is no harm. A person can make progress. He can become the best engineer, the best doctor, the best scientist. And we need all those people. But what Hazrat Khwaja Sahib demonstrated in his life is that together with all that, what we need is deen. So he says very beautifully, Kuch na poocho kya hua kyun kar hua, Kuch na poocho kya hua kyun kar hua, Jo hua jaisa hua behtar hua. Kuch na poocho kya hua kyun kar hua, Jo hua jaisa hua behtar hua. This is a majlis of Islah. And we all are facing different kinds of conditions. Daily we are hearing of how people are hijacked, murdered, killed, drowned, losing their lives in different ways. They leave behind little children, and then the parents, then the mother who is surviving or the father who is living. One of them after that finds it extremely difficult to bring up those children. So they begin to harbor doubts in their minds about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There are lots of people who work very, very hard and their business is just about taking off the ground. And then there is a fire that destroys everything in the building. That person comes to zero. He does not know how to survive. Or there are such kind of burglaries or such kind of burglaries take place that there's nothing left, there are no stocks left. And this person has to meet up all those commitments of his or all the debts that he has incurred. So at such a time, he says, Kuch na poocho kya hua, kyun kar hua, jo hua jaisa hua, behtar hua. That is what we mean by tafweez. That the person should not ask now why it happened. Kuch na poocho kya hua, what happened, why it happened, when it happened. It does not mean that because we are living in this world of means, so we must not make use of any means, or we must not even make any inquiry, we must not make any investigation, otherwise just now we understand it incorrectly. Then we'll say, Maulana said, anything happens, don't ask. If the police come and find out what happens, then nothing happens. It doesn't mean that. This is to give us consolation. That jo kuch hua, behtar hua. Jo hua, jaisa hua, behtar hua. Whatever happened, there was nothing but khair in it. In other words, mentally the person was now conditioned his mind. That whatever happened, that was the best that could have happened. He must not start questioning too much. Otherwise his heart will become restless. As long as the person did not do things incorrectly, he made use of the means correctly. So now he mustn't start questioning everything, why, what. Because he did what he had to do. He was driving carefully. Before he left, he checked the tires, he checked the engine, he checked the oil and pressure and everything else, and he was driving carefully. Now it happened, the accident happened. So what? Accept it now. Now if the person is going to go on and on, if only I did not leave this time, if only I did not leave that time, if only I didn't take this car, if only I took that car. Now all those type of questions, he's not going to change anything. He's not going to be able to reverse the situation. It will create more and more depression. Therefore an example I always give is that if you have to take two women, and both of them had no children for 20 years of their life, for 30 years of their married life, no children. And then Allah Ta'ala blesses both of them after 30 years with a child. Now that child who has come after 25, 30 years, how beloved that child is going to be. So both the women, one is a Muslim and one does not believe in Allah Ta'ala. Now this child grows up and comes of age, or about 4-5 years of age, very, very playful. The parents cannot do without this child. This child has become the life of the parents. And then Khuda na khasta, in accidents that take place on the same day, both the children lose their lives. By way of example, those parents were driving somewhere, these parents were driving somewhere, and some accident, both the children died. So we have two. One is believing in Allah Ta'ala, one doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala. Now the one who believes in Allah Ta'ala and believes in Taqdeer will feel the hurt, the pain, there will be grief, there will be sorrow, there will be takleef on the heart. Doesn't mean if you are a Muslim then you won't feel the pain and the loss of the child. But this woman will get back into action very quickly because she believes that whatever happened, happened with the will of Allah Ta'ala. And the other woman who does not believe in Allah Ta'ala will go on and on and on all her life that it was my only child and after so many years I was blessed with this child. If only I did not take that car, if only I did not leave at that part of the morning, if only now that if is going to create severe depression. So this belief in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala being the controller of everything will make things easy for the person to get back on track. So therefore he says, kuch na poocho kya hua kyun kar hua, jo hua jaisa hua behtar hua. Believe me, it straight away gives the person a kind of consolation, a kind of sukoon in the heart, that I could not have done anything else. Unless of course the person was negligent, the person was not making use of the means correctly, then we will say he must blame himself for it. But otherwise, the person will now say, well, it was Allah Ta'ala's will, and it happened. So if it happened, then whatever happened with the will of Allah Ta'ala is the best thing that could have happened. Allah Ta'ala knows what is the best for a person. He knows that somebody, if he gave him plenty of money, the person will end up in disco, cinemas, rave clubs, or he will go to all these big shows, or the person will engage in other kind of sin. So to save him from all those sins, Allah Ta'ala wants to keep him his. So he kept him in poverty so that he does not run away to all those places. And somebody else, Allah Ta'ala knows that if he does not give him wealth, then this person will leave him and go away. So then he gives him wealth, he gives him health, he gives him everything. So somebody he tests for sabr and somebody he tests for shukr. But if they are pious, righteous, then for both of them it is khair. And if they are not pious and righteous, then for the poor person also it is an azab, and for the rich person also it's an azab. Doesn't mean that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab only comes upon the rich. If the poor person doesn't obey Allah Ta'ala, then it can come in the form of azab upon him also. So, kuch na poocho kya hua kyun kar hua, jo hua jaisa hua behtar hua. Kya bhala ho meri marzi ke khilaaf, kya bhala ho meri marzi ke khilaaf, وہ جو حسب مرضی دلبر ہوا. He says, how can anything happen against my wish and will? Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is my beloved. And whatever is taking place with the hukam and the order and the command of my beloved, so then definitely it is khair for me and there's great happiness in it for me. And I accept it. I resign my will to the will of my beloved. So where can it take place against my will? That incident I have mentioned many times. Hazrat Bahlul was asked, said, how's everything going? He said, Alhamdulillah, everything is happening according to my will. He said, how can that be happening to according to your will? He said, because I have resigned my will to the will of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever Allah Ta'ala is happy and pleased with, I am happy and pleased with. دوست راضی ہے تو پھر کچھ ڈر نہیں, دوست راضی ہے تو پھر کچھ ڈر نہیں, ہو اگر دشمن زمانہ بھر ہوا. If my Allah is pleased, then I am not concerned, even if the whole world has become my enemies. dost razi hai, to phir kuch dar nahi. There's no fear if my Allah is pleased. So first thing we must check is our actions. Where am I going wrong? If we have got weakness and shortcomings, and who doesn't have weakness and shortcomings, then turn towards Allah Ta'ala, seek forgiveness. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ever willing to forgive. But he says, dost razi hai, to phir kuch dar nahi. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then what must we worry after that? He is the one who will change the conditions. So we should submit ourselves to him and resign our will to him. Only three things we can do, or three things we should be doing. One is making the correct effort, making dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for success in that effort, asking the Allah Walas to make dua for us for success, and the fourth thing is give sadaqah. These four things is in our ikhtiyar. It is what we can do. More than that we cannot do. The decision we cannot make for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's decision is going to be His decision. He's not going to have a cabinet meeting or any kind of parliamentary sitting. Allah Ta'ala is going to make the decision. But there are four things that we should be doing. One is make use of the means correctly, according to Sharia, within the parameters of Sharia, pleasing Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then make a lot of dua for success. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala that I've made use of the means, now give me success in these means that I have used. And thereafter ask the Allah Walas to make dua for us and give some sadaqah. After that is beyond our control. So whatever happens, if we are going to resign our will to the will of Allah Ta'ala, then there will be sukoon in our hearts under all conditions. As a Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, one person spent many, many years, and I commenced that one talk on tafweez with that same incident. There was a Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani Rahmatullah Ali, after many years when this person was departing. So he told this murid of his, he says, don't do two things. One is don't claim divinity, don't claim that I'm Allah. And the second thing is don't claim that I'm the Rasul of Allah. Now this murid got very shocked and surprised. He said, how can I ever make such kind of stupid claims? A person who has spent many years in the sohbat, in the company of a Kamil Waliullah, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jalani Rahmatullah Ali, the Sardar of the Awliya. Now in his company a person spends so much of time, will he ever claim that I'm Allah and I'm Rasul of Allah? Even if somebody spends his time correctly in the company of some ordinary Allah Wala, then too he won't make such claims. So he said, Hazrat, do you think that I'm going to make such kind of claims that I'm Allah and I'm Rasul of Allah? So he said, well, listen now, what does it mean? If the person wants that everything that he desires must happen, all his whims, his fancies, his desires, his wishes, his decisions, that is what must be fulfilled. In other words, Allah Ta'ala must do as He is desiring. So then that is claiming divinity. That means that you want to become Allah. The other example that I gave you was different, where Allah Ta'ala's decision He is accepting. The other incident that I mentioned, it is Allah Ta'ala's decision that He is accepting. He says, whatever Allah wills, I have accepted. And here this person is saying, whatever I will, Allah Ta'ala must accept. Whatever I decide, Allah Ta'ala must decide accordingly. So he says, that is claiming divinity. And if a person thinks that after many years in the company of some pious person, he will never make any mistake, there will be no slip or fault, he is not going to commit any sin at all now, all his life, he will become masoom or mahfooz. So he says, this is now, if the person thinks he is masoom, then he's become a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. He's claiming to be a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. It's only a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala that remains masoom, sinless. Also, if the person thinks that whatever I say is haq and nothing else, nobody else can be on haq besides myself, so then that is claiming nubuwwah. as far as human beings are concerned, besides the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. There's nobody masoom. There can be differences of opinion based on the same Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. So therefore to limit haq to just ourselves, that there is no haq anywhere else, only what I say is haq and everybody else whatever they say is batil. That is a form of claiming nubuwwat, he says. That's the advice he gave to you. In other words, you must be open. If there is a difference of opinion that is based on the Quran and Sunnah and the person is a mujtahid or the person like we had our mujtahid imams, or the person is a mufti of a caliber, the person is a great alim, a learned scholar, mufti. So then, if he has come up with some conclusion on the basis of his research, then we must give him recognition that it is a research the person has done and there could be some merit in that. But my conclusion is this. However, I don't say that there is nothing besides it. In other words, accommodate that difference of opinion. So this is the advice that the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali gave to him. He says, Dost razi hai to phir kuch dar nahi. Ho agar dushman zamana bar hua. Jab tawakku ut gai makhlooq se. Jab tawakku ut gai makhlooq se. Mujh pe fazle khaliq akbar hua. Jab tawakku ut gai makhlooq se. Mujh pe fazle khaliq akbar hua. And this is the test that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to turn away the gaze of that person from everyone else and make him cast his gaze on Allah ta'ala's treasures alone. So therefore it comes as a blessing in disguise. Those calamities, those disasters, or where the person feels totally helpless, that there's nobody to assist and help, the person feels that he's in a tight corner. There's no escape route. Then that's the time the person's gaze will now be on Allah Ta'ala alone. It's just that we are extremely weak, so therefore we must not ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for tests and trials. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we must ask Him for afiyat, we must ask Him for contentment, for peace, for satisfaction. We must ask Him for goodness of this world and the akhirat. But Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, so many others, look at the kind of tests and trials that came upon them. So he says, Jab tawakku ut gai makhlooq se, when my gaze, when my hopes were no more on the makhlooq of Allah tabaraka, on the creation of Allah ta'ala, I had no more any kind of hope and no kind of expectations. Our expectations are the things that cause us such kind of depression, that we expect a lot of things to happen. Lots of expectations. We did one book in our school days, Great Expectations. So we have great expectations from different people. So and so will solve this problem of mine. That person will solve that problem of mine. And that government minister will solve that problem of mine. Now when we are going to have a lot of expectation from different people. The mother-in-laws have high expectations from their daughter-in-laws. The daughter-in-laws have high expectations from their mother-in-laws. Children have great expectations from the parents. Parents from the children. That I gave my child education. I made him a doctor. I made him reach high stages. I made him climb the ladder until he became a minister, he went into the cabinet. So now he should be doing this for me, he should be doing that for me. Now if he doesn't do, then depression. Friends have great expectations. Shaykh has great expectation on his murids. Murids have great expectations on the shaykh. I'm talking about material, worldly and all those kind of things, whatever expectations we have. Or even if it is the spiritual kind, one is to have a desire to make spiritual progress. And the other is that the person has got some kind of very high expectation. That the moment I will become bayat, or the moment I will go and sit in one, two majlis, then I will start flying high in the sky. Now when that doesn't happen, then the person feels that that I did not attain what I had set out to achieve. So depression will set in. So therefore he says, jab tawakku ud gayi makhlooq se, mujh pe fazle khaliq akbar hua. Allah Ta'ala's fazal and Allah Ta'ala's ihsan became unlimited. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala found a way out for me in my difficulties, in my problems. Allah Ta'ala took me out of those situations of grief and sorrow. Allah Ta'ala then put happiness and joy in my heart. Allah Ta'ala blessed me with different bounties and ni'mats, which took away all that pain and sorrow and gham. But when that happened, he says, when I took away my gaze from the makhluq, when we take it out from the creation of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will create the conditions. Allah Ta'ala is the controller of hearts. It doesn't mean that person will just do nothing, he will just lie in his bed and everything will happen. Although it can happen. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then create the means. His sustenance Allah Ta'ala will provide from sources unknown to him and least expected. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will create different avenues for this person. And it is the experience of millions of people, so nobody can deny it. So, jab tawakku ut gayi makhlooq se, mujh pe fazle khaliq akbar hua. So, Zakhaya sahab rahmatullah alayhi, first he said that even if the whole zamana becomes dushman, but if Allah Ta'ala is pleased, if my dost Allah, my friend Allah, if he is pleased, so then what fear is there? Comes to mind again that incident of that Hindu poet that accepted Islam in 1963. I mentioned it in many places, but if it comes suddenly, then I don't leave it. I repeat it. For I believe that so it benefits somebody. So in 1963, there was a massive jalsa for the Jamiatul Ulama Hind in one of the showgrounds in Meerut. Over 200,000 people were there. 150 to 200,000 people. In that kind of jalsa, this person read that poetry. He was a Hindu who accepted Islam. And when he accepted Islam, then his parents, his family and his society, and they all, because he was a professional person, because he was an educated person, because he was well known, so therefore they came upon him very, very hard, criticizing, mocking, ridiculing, threatening. To him it seemed as if all the doors were closed. But the lesson in there is for us that look at what this person had to say. Instead of giving in, instead of compromising, instead of saying, well, I can't take all this stress and trial, so therefore let me give up my Islam and Iman, as we are saying nowadays, our Muslim brothers and sisters, many of them are saying, little bit of stress and trial, I'd rather give up my Islam, na'uzubillah. Some boy is let down by some girl for marriage, then he wants to give up his Islam. Now what has Islam got to do with it? So he said, part of the poetry I still remember. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, laakh toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana, nahi uska gham. Chahe badle zamana, nahi uska gham. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Aap badle to apna thikana nahi. Who is saying it? The person is coming into Islam, who is facing such tests and trials and difficulties, he is saying, giving us a lesson. He says, Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi. All kinds of tests and trials can come. Difficulties can come. Hardships can come. People can beat me up. They can stone me. They can do whatever they want. Now we're not talking of the days of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And we're not talking about born Muslims. He says, whatever kind of difficulty, hardship, to parwa nahi. Laak toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. And oh Allah, I'm not even complaining about this difficulty. I'm not even saying that, why did you send upon me such kind of tests and trials? Laak toote sitam uska shikwa nahi. Chahe badle zamana nahi uska gham. The whole world can turn against me. He says, I've got no fear. I've got no grief and no sorrow. My family has turned away. My friends have turned away. My colleagues have turned against me. Everybody is just threatening or ridiculing and mocking that how can you change your deen. And I'm not worried about all that. Aap badle to apna tikana nahi. My Allah, you must not change. If you have to change, then I will face nothing but destruction. My real destruction will be then. I will have no place, no ground to stand on. Aap badle to apna thikana. That's the lesson for us. That in life, tests and trials will come. Different kinds of tests must come in life. We must always look up and see, oh my Allah. For we must see if Allah is pleased with us or displeased. And everyone's heart will tell him that if Allah is pleased or displeased. Each one knows his own actions and deeds. We can hide our sins from other people, but can we hide our sins from ourselves? Can a person hide his sins from himself that he doesn't know? Unless, of course, he was drugged and he was on such a high that he doesn't even know what happened. But then when he comes out of the drug state, he too knows that he took so many drugs. So sins, if a person is engaging in, then he knows his sins. So he says, oh Allah, you must not change. Your gaze must not move away. Your gaze of rahmat and mercy. And then how beautifully he says,
koi manzil bhi hai is gunahgar ki, koi manzil bhi hai is gunahgar ki, ya tadapta rahega yun hi umr bhar. Koi manzil bhi hai is gunahgar ki, ya tadapta rahega yun hi umr bhar. Maine mana khataon ka putla hoon main. Maine mana khataon ka putla hoon main. Apni nazron se lekin girana nahi. Maine mana khataon ka putla hoon main. Apni nazron se lekin girana nahi. Says, koi manzil bhi hai is gunahgar ki. This new Muslim is teaching us old Muslims. Koi manzil bhi hai is gunahgar ki. Ya tadapta rahega yun hi umr bhar. Oh Allah, is there any station, any place for this gunegar, for this sinful one? Or is this my destiny that I will have to keep on flapping? Maine mana khatao ka putla hoon main. I admit, I acknowledge my beloved Allah that I am an epitome of sins. In whichever direction, in whichever angle, from whichever side, whichever aspect of my life I look at, I find nothing but I am immersed in the ocean of sins. Maine mana, and I am acknowledging it to my Allah. I am not justifying my sins. I am acknowledging my sins. Maine mana khatao ka putla hume. And that is what Allah Ta'ala wants of us. Aitiraf of qusur.
acknowledgement of our sins, expression of our helplessness, our hopelessness.
Maine mana khataon ka putla hu main, apni nazron se lekin girana nahi.
Others may have dropped me from their sight, but you, O my Allah, must not drop me from your sight.
Ah, what that person must have gone through.
MashaAllah, he had a nice beard. Complete change. You can't make out that this person came into the deen of Islam. Therefore, we should not look down upon those people who have come into the deen of Islam with sincerity. We are not there to judge with what niyat the person accepted Islam. Who are we to judge? Can we look into the heart of the person that anyone who accepts Islam, we conclude that he only came into Islam to marry somebody? That's our only conclusion. We ask them also straight away. The person comes and says, I'm really keen on knowing something about Islam. So we say, that are you accepting Islam just to marry somebody? Is that the only reason a person accepts Islam? Yes, after having accepted Islam, if his lifestyle shows that there was nothing else, there's no namaz, no roza, zakat, hajj, nothing, there is no deen, the person is still behaving in the same manner that he was behaving before accepting Islam, and the only purpose that seems very evident and clear now was to marry some Muslim woman, then that is different. But we cannot just conclude, I'll hear this person whose example I am giving. Whenever I think of that, the whole majma there was in tears when he said this, Mene mana khutaw ka putlahu. Our bayans and our taqrees and our khitab could not have had that much impact on the hearts as these ash'ar and this poetry of that person who had come into Islam had on the hearts of that gathering there. So once he says, I have removed my gaze from everyone else, from all your makhluq. When I removed my gaze, then I got the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this i'tiraf of qusur, sometimes Allah ta'ala puts a person into that kind of condition. He feels his life very tightened, narrowed, and the person feels absolutely hopeless. Whichever direction he looks, he finds nothing that can be of any help and assistance. At that time now, he really, really true from the bottom of his heart, now he turns towards Allah. And that is what Allah Ta'ala wanted. But some people come towards it without any difficulties and hardships. And some people, they come towards it with after difficulties and hardships. And some people, although they pious and righteous, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala still puts them through some tests and trials, to show to the people that these are my true servants. It's not that only with halwa then they want Allah. And when Allah Ta'ala sends some balwa then they all want to run. Allah Ta'ala under all conditions, Allah Ta'ala wants to show that under all conditions, these are my bandas. The difficulties come upon them, they say, Allah, you are ours. And enjoyment and luxuries come, they still say Allah. They don't run away from Allah. So for them it's an elevation of status and position and rank. We must not conclude every time azab, azab. The gauge is that sukoon in the heart, that the person has resigned his will to the will of Allah Ta'ala. That was Allah Ta'ala's will, it's supposed to happen like that and it has happened.
Band jab sab dar huwe mere liye, बंद जब सब दर हुए मेरे लिए, गैब से पैदा नया एक दर हुआ.
Says when all the doors closed, all the doors were shut, then from the unseen Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opened the door. A new door opened from the unseen. Now that is what happens. And the person turned towards Allah ta'ala, he turns towards his creator, his malik, his khaliq. When the person begs for forgiveness of sins and asks Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to find a way out for him, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens the doors. And then he doesn't open one door, he opens many, many doors after that. So when he says, when one door closed for me, Then from the unseen, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opened the door. A new door opened for me. Ho gaye jab raaste masdood sab, jazba khud majzoob ka rehbar hua. So the lesson in this was that, or the lesson for tonight was, that we must not lose hope, trust, faith in Allah ta'ala. We must not ask Allah ta'ala for tests and trials, hardships and difficulties. But if they do come, then we must take lesson. We should be taking lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba-e Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the Tabi'in, Tabi'e Tabi'in. But if we cannot, then at least take lesson from these type of people. Look at the message they gave us. That poetry, you can see it's coming from the heart of this person. And when we met him and he told us what he went through, it was unbelievable that after such kind of difficulties, hardship and threats and what, but still the person was strong and firm and he was prepared to still read this poetry in the presence of thousands of people. Otherwise he would have been in more fear that if I'm going to say it openly like that, then they will shoot me dead. So what is it that gives them this courage and this strength? It is that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they found something in Islam, they found something in Deen, they found a bonding with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their qudrat and power and might of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they were experiencing that it is with them. We cannot experience it because we haven't made any effort. I think I mentioned that incident of that one person that accepted Islam. It was just, we had asked him to make wuzu and come to explain him Islam because he had indicated he's wanting to accept. He had already come one, two sessions before that, explained to him Islam, and then he accepted Islam just before Zohar Namaz. A white person, very educated, he's holding a position in the university. This is a few years ago. So he came, he accepted Islam there at the madrasa. And then it was Azan time, so we brought him here to the masjid. So I asked one of our brothers to stand next to him. I asked him to stand next to one of them. And I said, well, you have just accepted Islam. Now you don't have to do anything much. You will just follow the postures of that imam. He had his usal, wuzu, everything he made. So I made him stand right in the corner there. And he was making his namaz. I said, you must only make subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Person just accepts Islam, then you don't sit down and start giving him namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, nikah, talaq, buying, selling and everything one time, one day. I still recall in one town that person accepted Islam in the month of Ramadan. Now accepted Islam in the month of Ramadan, so I said, well, now you have to start fasting and then you must make your namaz. Then you have to make 20 rakats of Taraweeh, then you must make your witr, then you must make your nafil namaz, then you must get up again for tahajjud. That person ran away. He says, it's too much. First day he says, too much. So you have to use hikmah and tell the person how to go about it. In any case, this person came here. They made his Zohar namaz. That was about 10, 12 years ago. He made his Zohar namaz. And after the Zohar namaz, then we made our sunnat namaz and then we came outside. And waiting, waiting, waiting. This person is not raising his head from the sajda. Everybody is out and this person is still in sajda. So I told that person who had brought him, I said, don't disturb him, leave him like that. We'll sit and wait. We waited. When he finished and he came outside, so what happened? He says, I can't tell you the enjoyment and the ecstasy and the joy and the happiness and what I felt when I was prostrating before Allah, when I was making sajda before Allah. That enjoyment that I got, I didn't feel like raising my head. Now here's a new Muslim, first day, and he doesn't want to raise his head from sajda. So there must be something he got in there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us all the tawfiq of amal. But this is the haqiqat and reality, that if we understand that everything is happening with the will and the decision of Allah Ta'ala, then if there's recession, there's this, or there's anything else, we will make use of the means, but the person will not go into severe depression. So many people want to take their lives. Now there are so many incidents that we can discuss, but there is no time for all the incidents tonight. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us such firm faith and belief and trust in Him that we experience Allah being with us all the time. It's an experience. The person will laugh, he will joke, he will eat, he will do everything, but he knows that Allah is watching. دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ باخدا رہے, وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے. He will remain in the activities of life with everybody. If he go for Hajj, 3-4 million people will be with them. But his heart will be with Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار يا غفار يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Hey Rabbe Kareem, tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. جو تو میرا تو سب میرا, فلک میرا, زمین میری. If you are not ours, may Allah, then nothing is ours. If you are ours, then everything will be ours. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں. We acknowledge, my beloved Allah, every sin of ours. We are not justifying any of our sins. Indeed, we are the most sinful servants. My beloved Allah, bless us with yaqeen in you, with tawakkul in you, with trust in you. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with hearts that are filled with your muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the realization, my beloved Allah, that in sins there's nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. Bless us all with life of piety, of taqwa. My beloved Allah, make us all yours and become ours. Koi mujhse poochhe main kya mangta hoon, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hoon. Woh ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska, yahi raat din mein dua mangta hoon. Koi manzil bhi hai is gunahgar ki, ya tadapta rahunga jo hi umr. کوئی منزل بھی ہے اس گنہگار کی یا تڑپتا رہوں گا یوں ہی عمر بھر. میں نے مانا خطاؤں کا پتلا ہوں میں, اپنی نظروں سے لیکن گرانا نہیں. کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ مانگتا ہے, الہی میں تجھ سے طلبگار تیرا. کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ مانگتا ہے, الہی میں تجھ سے طلبگار تیرا. People ask different things from you, my Allah.
I am seeking you from you. Hame sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat wali zindagi de. Bless us all with a life of prosperity, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Give us barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our times. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are all sick and ailing, my beloved Allah. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Bless each and every one who is sick and ailing, whether in hospitals, clinics, homes, or amongst us, with complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and sustenance and remove their difficulties. Those who are returning from Hajj, make their Hajj maqbool, mabroor, asan. Make their journey safe, easy and comfortable. Accept all the duas that they made. Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa, wherever they made duas, Ya Allah, accept all the duas. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Bless all students who wrote examinations with success in their examinations. Make them assets for our communities. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah, with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you after this majlis. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and problems of each and every individual. Ya Allah, remove with your fazl and with your kindness their difficulties, their hardship, their pain, the suffering, the sicknesses and the diseases. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiyul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.